the revelation of the book Revelation, part 31. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Yahushua in South Africa, Pretoria, Montana. Should you require any of the books which I've written, especially the book, the two keys to the book of Revelation, the A4 book, which is nearly 800 pages thick, it weighs nearly 2.5 kilograms, so it's one thick, massive book, which is basically 35, 40 years worth of research experience in it, and a lot of words. If you would require a book like this, or any of the other books which I've written, please contact us at our WhatsApp number, the plus 27 code. The number is 0722-367-124. Just go to my website, https://yahva, the Father's name, yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you will participate in the study, you are very, very welcome. And I would urge you, sorry, I just want to just enlarge the letters a bit here. I would urge you to go to part one and start from the beginning, and also subscribe in order to receive the other studies notifications. Please share this with your friends and family. Must have at least a 1611 King James Bible notepad and a pen ready for notes, because this is nothing else than a international Bible study. It's very important to note that you do not associate yourself with the following groups or people: any Messianic groups, the Israel Visual groups, the Hebrew Roots movement, the Sacred Name movement, the Young movement, Jehovah Witness movement, Seventh Day Adventist movement. We are not affiliated to any church, denomination or organization in the world. What we do is we do a Bible study once a week. We have different studies, so you can participate in different studies. We are mainly using the ancient Hebrew Sacred Name Bible, according to the 1860 restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rotterdam version, the one translated by Dr. Joseph Brion Rotterdam in 1860s. You will find that this is one of the oldest stroke Hebrew stroke English Bibles that you will find available. Just to note, this is not the 1902 Emphasis Bible, the corrupted one. According to the ancient original Hebrew name Bible, the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the name Jesus was originally Yahushua. The name God was originally Elohim of Hashim. The name of the Lord was originally Yaffa. The name of the Holy Spirit was originally Ruach HaKodesh. We do not refer to ourselves as Christians, but as Yahvists. According to 1 Peter 4 verse 16, in the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, and so was the disciples of Yahushua called and his followers 2,000 years ago. I trust that this study will be a blessing unto you. We're going to continue where we left off last week. The sixth kingdom. The kingdom of Yahushua, the stone from the mountain. Now listen, verse 34. Thou sawest still that the stone was cut out without hands. There was a mountain, a big mountain, which is figurative speech for Yaffa, our Father. Your source of the stone was cut out without hands, which smothers the image upon his feet. There's a stone, the mountain, Yaffa, and out from the stone, Yaffa, came from the mountain, came a stone called Yahushua. Hallelujah. I experienced the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh. From the mountain Yaffa came a stone, Yahushua, and a smith the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them into pieces. This hands, this stone was set loose, was set free. It was not done by hands. It's a supernatural happening. But that is how Yaffa works. And understanding the figure of speech, we find this mountain is Yaffa, our Elohim. Then from the mountain, Yaffa, our Elohim, came the stone, Yahushua. The stone, our Elohim, sends his son, the Redeemer, his bride, for 2,000 years ago. He gathered a bride. Yahushua gathered a bride. which we are part of. We are called Yafesh. At the end of time, after the bride of Yahushua has been drawn from the earth, the great tribulation will come into existence. After 7 years, 105 days, the remnant of Israel, one third, shall be saved. Immediately the battle of Armageddon shall occur. I would urge you to get my book, which is also part of my doctor, my PhD degree, Israel's Rapture. It's an A5, thick A5 book called Israel's Rapture. You won't believe the information that's in there. As we continue with the study, I shall explain everything just said. Which smote the image upon his feet and were iron of clay. We found a mountain, Yaffa, and Yahushua. So what happened? It came down and it smothers the image at his feet. This will happen in the end time. Now, are we living in the end time? Are we living in the end time? We are surely living in the end time. Why? Well, we see all this one world religion, churches amalgamating, forming covenants, forming different relations. The other day, the Roman Catholic Pope signed a covenant agreement with Islam. About 20-25 years, there was a movement created called Krishlam, which was a combination of Christians and then Islam. And when the Pope signed an agreement with Islam about 8-9 months ago, a year ago, there was big headings, Krishlam has been born. Krishlam was born about 20 years ago already. I know about Krishlam for the last 20-25 years. So it's a combination of Christianity and then, of course, Islam. Different covenants is formed. Different parts of the puzzle is put together in order for us as the bride of Yahushua, the Yafis, to see all these things happen. Now it says that this will come in the final time. This stone will come loose in the end of time. And it's going to hit this beast of the image of Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, at the feet. Why at the feet and not at the head? When you go hunting, where do you shoot a buck? In the feet or in the head? Or in the body? Yeah, the head or the body. Why not the feet? Why does the Bible say the stone that came from the mountain knock the beast, which is the image, at his feet? Because it's a combination of clay and iron. It sticks together, it's not going to last. And we are living in the time of the feet. The head, Babylon, has gone. Median Persian has gone. Greece has gone. The time of Rome has gone. Although Rome is still alive. Very few people know it. But Rome as alive as what it was 2,000 years ago, 2,300 years ago. The only thing is, it's functioning under the image of the Roman Catholic Church. In 34 AD, you have the Roman Empire. We first have Yahushua, and then the gospel of Yahushua just flooded the world. And the Roman Empire feared this sect. And then what did they do? They created, in 34 AD, AY, after Yahushua, they created the church called the Roman Catholic Church. Roman means Roman Empire. It's a state church. Catholics mean united, and church mean universal, worldwide. And that's why today she's called the mother of all churches. Now this government, Roman Empire, created in 34 AD, AY, the Roman Catholic Church. And in 570 AY, then the church moved above the Roman Empire. Today you will find that the Roman Empire is alive as what it was 2,000 years, well, not 2,000, in 570 before it was overtaken over by the church and ran by the church. I actually said before, how many other countries has 100 full-time embassies in their land, where the Vatican in Rome as 197 full-time embassies in the Vatican and around the Vatican. What does a church do with 197 embassies? It's not the church, it's the Roman Empire, which is alive, which is orchestrating it in a manner of a church through the Pope. And that's where your Antichrists will come from, who will set his, come and sit in the temple and present him as God or Yahweh, and will offer on the behalf of the Israelites. Alright, so where does this stone hit the image at the feet, the mixture of iron and clay? Looking at the world today in 2024, you must agree with me that we are currently living in this dispensation of mixed cultures, mixed relations, mixed religions. Am I right? Certainly. This is one of the final signs leading towards the end time. Looking at Genesis chapter 10, where we found Nimrod, the sun god, we find that when people were one in mind and one in spirit, they built a tower that would reach into heaven. Today in 2024, the world is again moving towards becoming one in mind, one in spirit, one in the religion. This is what's happening. It's happening. Things is happening. We are living in the end time. And it says it broke them into pieces. According to the scripture, we find that the stone, which is Yahushua, shall break this combination of iron and clay into small pieces. That no place was found for them. Verse 35. Verse 35. It says, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken into pieces together. Why? 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 Everything. The iron, the clay, the brass, it works it from underneath upwards, silver and gold. Right, it's because the Babylon was the gold, silver, Media, Persia, and Greece as we go down. But now he brings it up from the bottom. Here in verse 35, it starts to say, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, it starts from the bottom, working it up. The silver and the gold broken into pieces together. Why? Because these different kingdoms became history. These are all history. Babylon, Median and Persia, Greece and Rome are all history. These kingdoms today have no effect on us in the 21st century. Why? Because this Babylon kingdom, the Median Persian kingdom, the Greek kingdom and the Roman kingdom have gone by. They are history, although the Roman Catholic, the Roman Empire is still alive. Today in 2024, we need to pay attention to the mixed combination of iron and clay. This is where everything is happening today, because this fifth kingdom is relevant in the time that we are living in today. Where's the heartbeat of this statue, this image of Babylon, or of Nebuchadnezzar? It's in the feet, we in this 20th century. We see how it's operating, it's coming together. I'm doing research, I'm doing studies and research for the last 56 years of my life. And in this time, I've seen how this combination of religions, where there was a standard of holiness, when I was a youngster, when I was a small boy, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, how there was anointing in the churches. There were fruits of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, in the churches. Sinners came to repentance. Sinners turned away from sin. People became renewed through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ those years. Today is Yahushua. We know the names. I would urge you, go to the study and study what is your God's name. Get the link and subscribe to it. It's a massive study. What is your God's name? It's important. So, to understand why his name is Yahushua the Ruach. But we as children, we saw the standard of holiness. Certain things were sin. To do certain things were sins. And as we progressed in life, I could see how things would change. I was a local pastor for 18 years. I actually became a pastor when I was very, very young. And I saw for the 18 years that there are three different congregations in South Africa. I saw how things were changing. I was, because I was studying the eschatology,
And I was preaching eschatology where people say, you're half crazy, you don't know what you're talking about. Especially the elder pastors. They wouldn't believe the things I was teaching and preaching from the Word. Sometimes they would just walk away, would just ignore me. I was referred to as a half-crazy young pastor. Doesn't matter. But I knew what I was talking about because Yahweh was revealing His Word unto me. And then what we did is I saw this lucky daisy way of starting worshiping. There was no more anointing in the services. There was no more preaching the gospel. There was no more talking about Satan, breaking the bondage of Satan and the curses in people's life. People just had to come to church. People had just to pay their tithes, and they just had to worship. They just had to be part of the church. They didn't need to live a life of holiness and preach the gospel as it was written. No, they just had to become members of churches. And this is where we are living today. People need to just join the church and become part of a church system. It's not. So what I'm talking about is what I experienced in a period of 56 years while I was studying the eschatology. Although I was in the gospel, I started to love the Word since I was 13 years old. Today when I look back, because of the influence of the internet, I see the way people is backsliding. People live in sin. They function on church boards and they function as mediators in the church and prayer intercessors. And with that church they live one life, and with the other church they live another life. There's no standard of holiness. Well, there is, if some churches have still got the standard of holiness, but 99% of the churches has missed it. Why? Because we're living in the final church age. We're living in the seventh church age. We're living in the seventh church age. Revelation 3 verse 14 to 22. He says, "Well, your hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." We're living in this time of lukewarmness. He says in verse 20, "I stand at the door," Revelation 3:20, "and I knock. If somebody will open the door, I will come in." Why? The handle of the door is on the inside. The churches have moved the Holy Spirit out of the churches, the Ruach HaKodesh. And He's seeking to come in, to sup with you. So this is why it's talking about this clay and iron that is mixed. It's mixed. They miss the anointing of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. So one of the churches, in the traditional churches here in South Africa, in Pretoria, 4 years ago, something happened. They got a new pastor, and the first thing he would say, the Sunday morning, "Nobody in this church will say anything against the devil ever again. Never. I don't want to hear anything about the devil. And in this church, we don't preach sin. We just need to live a life of holiness." How do you live? How do you convince somebody about sin if you don't teach sin and show them sin? It's very difficult. He says, "Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken into pieces together and became like the calf of the summer freshening floods. After the stone, Yahushua has demolished the one global religion and financial system with the church system, with a new world order religion. They shall become like dust in the wind." It will blow it away. It will just blow it away. It's not the Ruach HaKodesh, it's not the Holy Spirit that's going to blow it away. You know it's going to blow it away. Father Yahweh is going to use the atomic power, the atomic bombs, the missiles. Did you know when a missile, atomic missile goes off, it's not the missile or the bomb that's causing the destruction. It's the wind that the atomic bomb is making. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, go and look at the videos. The wind came and it just blew. And as the hot wind came, it's a massive temperature wind. Just takes everything away. Buildings away. People away. Then in Ezekiel he says the people will walk and the wind will blow, and their flesh will be stripped from their bones, and their bones will become ash and just fall down on the ground. What's that? It's because of the atomic bomb. It says, then the dust became like dust in the wind. Dust in the wind. The people will just become like dust. Gone. It's going to happen in the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 20 verse 8. Go read your Bible. It says, we come like dust in the wind, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. This is figurative speech describing how this fifth kingdom of iron and clay shall just disappear at the end time. And we continue the study, everything shall be explained. Just look at the stone Yahushua. Now listen what he says. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain. Why? Because the son of Yahweh Elohim, who is the right hand of Yahweh Elohim, according to Isaiah 53 verse 1 to 6, shall become one with the Father. Hallelujah. They will become one big mountain again. Where is he going to sit? On the right hand of the Father. Why is he sitting on the right hand of the Father? Isaiah 53 verse 1 to 6 says that he was the right arm. He was the right arm of the Father. The right hand. I said before, if you want to greet me, what hand do you greet me with? With your left hand? No, you reach out with your right hand. Why your right hand and not your left hand? Because it's the authority of power. It's the right hand. Who was Yahushua of the Father? He was the authority, the right hand of the Father. That's why when he ascended into heaven, he didn't go and sit on the left hand. His position is the authority of power. Yahushua said, the right hand said, unto me is given all power in heaven and the earth. So what did Father Yahweh do? He emptied himself. He manifested himself in Yahushua. Not in the fullness, or the fullness of the Godhead couldn't have been poured out in Yahushua. He would have just exploded. When he was immersed by John the Immerser, as he came out of the water, the Ruach came upon him. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And he received the right hand of the Father. Only the right hand. He couldn't receive the fullness of the God. But the Bible says he received the fullness of the God. The Bible says, I know. But if I take a glass, if I take this glass and I fill it with orange juice, how much orange juice can this glass take? Just till the brim is full. The moment the brim is full, it will what do? It will just overflow. You understand? So if I say, I filled this to the fullness. I filled it to the fullness. It means it can't take one more drop. And this is what Yahushua did. He received from the Father the right hand, which was the fullness of the Godhead, this body, Yahushua, could contain. You understand? He couldn't contain one drop more of the power of the Father than what this human body, which was Yahushua. I'm just using a figurative speech here. Let's say this is Yahushua. He can only contain the amount of power from the Father, the fullness that until he's full. The moment that he contained the fullness, which is what this body can handle, what this glass can handle is to fill it up to the top, and the moment it overflows, overspills, there's the fullness. But the rest is still in the bottle. The bottle, that the container, can still be 3/4 full. So I didn't empty the whole 2 liters of the bottle in the glass. I emptied until the fullness of this body could contain what it needs to contain, and that is as much as this glass could take. And this is what happened with Yahushua. The moment that Yahushua contained the fullness of the Godhead in him, the rest of the Godhead was still in the Father. That's why he could say, this is my beloved Son. Surely the Son is lesser than the Father. Are you with me? Certainly. So the rest of the Godhead was in the Father, but the fullness of the Godhead that the Son could contain was in Yahushua. You just experienced one of the greatest revelations in the Bible. Because for many years it sounds like the Bible contradicts itself when it talks about the fullness of the Godhead. is the fullness which Yahushua contained, because he was the right hand. It was the fullness of the Father, the authority of the right hand or right arm of Yahweh, the authority on earth. And that's why he emptied him back onto into Yahushua, into Yahweh the Father, when he ascended into heaven. Where did he go and sit? On the right hand. Who is he? He's our intercessor. He's our high priest. He intercedes for us. Because he bought, and I'm talking about the bride of Yahushua and the Yahwist. So what? Because he's the right hand, the authority. Isaiah 53 verse 1 to 6. Go read Isaiah 53 verse 1 to 6. He says that he became like a lamb at the slaughter. He bore our sorrows, our sins, our griefs. He didn't open his mouth. He was smitten, but he was just there to bear the sins of the world. Who's he? He's my Redeemer. He's my Savior. Yahushua, the Redeemer. Hallelujah. So he became one with the Father. When he ascended into heaven, he gave back. On this stage, he still has the authority that she received from the Father. But after the white throne judgment, Revelation 20 verse 11, he will give back what he received from the Father, the authority, and they will become one as what it was. With one difference, now Yahushua will have a bride for himself. After the white throne judgment, according to Revelation 20 verse 11 to 15, and fill the whole earth. This is speaking of speech describing that the Ruach HaKodesh shall fill the new earth. Not this earth. This earth is going to melt away. He's not coming to live on this earth. It can't be, because the Bible says this earth will be overwhelmed by water. It will be overstreamed, overflowed. And it will be like in Genesis 1. There was no earth that you could see. It was waters upon waters. And then Father Yahweh took the waters and he iced it up and he put it in the north and the south pole. He iced it up and the earth became visible. And we have the sea. And with the battle of Armageddon, it will become so hot, the earth will melt away. It will become so hot that this north and south pole will just become water. All that mountains of ice. Under the sea, there's ice as much as on top. It will just come together and it will overflow the earth. And on top of this water will come a new earth. This old earth will never exist again. It's full of sin. It's cursed. This is where Satan lives. We're not going to live on this earth. We are living in heaven. We as the bride. But on this new earth, there's going to be a new Jerusalem for Israel. The one third of Israel who will be raptured at Revelation 20, Revelation 19 verse 11 to 21. They're going to live on the new earth, in the new Jerusalem. We, the bride, we're sitting on thrones. You go read Revelation 20 verse 4. Go read. He says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon the thrones. Who were they? Us, the bride, that was changed, which were changed from earthly into a heavenly, from immortal to immortality, and we were drawn away at the parousia on the end of Revelation 3:22, where the age of grace came to an end. From there, the great tribulation started. 1,290 days plus 1,335 days, 2,625 days. Great tribulation. 7 years, 105 days. Where's the bride? We are in heaven. We're sitting on thrones. Because we are now, today, we are called kings, sons, and priests of Yahweh. Kings, sons, and priests. We on this earth, we today are ruling. We are not living on this earth as this is defined like the Jehovah Witnesses believe. This is the final destination. No. This earth is going to melt away. But today, as sons, kings, and priests of Yahweh, our Elohim, We are in the power of Yahushua, because he says, all power has been given unto me. And before he ascended into heaven, he says, this power I give unto you. Every one of us who's bride, who's part of, who are Yafist, who work in, who live in holiness and faithfulness, and walk the straight and narrow, living according to the word, in the fruits of the Ruach HaKodesh. We are kings, sons and priests. We triumph day to day. We triumph over sin and the works of Satan in the name of Yahushua. But this is not our end destination. It is our mission to get souls saved. Preach the gospel of salvation unto the lost as Yahushua did. This is what we are doing. But our reward is that we will sit on thrones as kings of Yahweh. We will sit on thrones as kings, and judgment will be given unto us. Go read Revelation 20 verse 4. Go read Revelation 20 verse 4. Judgment will be given unto us. Hallelujah. He says, and fill the earth. This is figurative speech described in the Ruach HaKodesh. So fill the new earth after the end time. That is to do with Israel. It's got nothing to do with me. As bride, we will never come to the new earth. There. Why? Because it talks about the altar, and that will not be found in it, because Yahushua is the altar. And you can go study Revelation 20 and 20, 20 sorry, Revelation 21 and 22. That's for Israel. The one third of Israel. But we are the bride. You understand? So we do not participate in any kind of new earth. Nothing. But the Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, will fill the new earth for Israel, the remnant of Israel, who will also be in glorified bodies, because they've been raptured, harpachu, at the end of Revelation 19 verse 11. Yeah, time has gone by so easily. Take the scripture, continue with the scripture, do your own study, so when we come together next week, we can continue and see what Yahweh really wants to show us. Be a Yahfist in every way. Live in holiness, expecting the final covenant to be formed. Till next week, if Yahweh tarries to come, Maranatha, Yahushua's coming back again. Hallelujah.